And welcome to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there for listening. Make sure you guys go to SeanGreenShow.com. Yes, that is SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest interviews, podcasts, and news up at SeanGreenShow.com. Also, check me out on WGNPlus.com. All the coolest podcasts up on WGNPlus. And also, if you want to stalk me on Facebook, it's at Sean Green Media. If you want to check me out on Facebook, it's at Sean Green Media. And also on Twitter, it's at Sean Green Show. So make sure you guys go to Sean Green, at Sean Green Show on the Twitterverse there. Jam-packed show today, so I'm going to get right to it. Ray Carcillo, the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, and RayCarcillo.com. He joins us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. What's going on, buddy?
Hello, Sean. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing all right. So, all right, let's talk Comic-Con San Diego. You are scheduled to be there, correct?
Yes, I will be there first thing Wednesday morning as we prep for all the festivities of preview night later that night, and then we'll be there through the whole show Thursday through Sunday. San Diego will be geekified like never before as the convention center gets basically, and all of downtown San Diego gets turned on its head as hundreds of thousands of people storm the San Diego shore.
Yeah, and San Diego Comic-Con is one of the more popular ones. Is there any particular reason why it's that popular? Because, you know, it comes here to Chicago, and it will be here next month. But I wonder why San Diego is such a huge success.
Well, they consider San Diego to be the grandfather. They consider that to be the first and that the original, the innovator. It's been going on since the 70s at this point, if you can believe it. So a lot of the other ones, like Chicago and New York, most of them are only a decade old. So the big reason why San Diego, I think, has had such huge popularity is it was the first. I mean, it started in the basement of a hotel. I think it was a Sheraton. Don't quote me on that. But it was in the basement of a hotel, and then it grew, and it took over the whole hotel, and then it went to the convention center. And now at this point, if you go to San Diego during Comic-Con, I mean, it's literally got events going on 10, 15 blocks away from the convention center. It's just like a geek bomb went off, and just anything, any business within its radius has been affected, usually in a positive way.
Oh, great, great. Now, what are some of the things we're expected to see at San Diego Comic-Con?
Well, you're going to get a whole flood of geek media. You're going to get new Star Wars action figures are going to be shown off for the first time, obviously in anticipation for the movie coming out in December. You're going to get Warner Brothers is going to do a lot of panels for their television shows like Arrow and Flash, as well as a lot of others. You're going to have, of course, video games. Black Ops 3 is going to be there. Nintendo is going to have a huge area. Microsoft is going to have a huge everything on display. A lot of fans are going to get hands-on with games for the first time. Rainbow Six Siege is going to be playable for fans. Assassin's Creed Syndicate will be playable for fans. Not to mention, Ubisoft will have their now iconic obstacle course returning. I think this is the third year in a row they're doing an obstacle course. So, I mean, you're going to get a lot of things from all different kinds of media. Star Wars Battlefront is going to be playable there, too. Not to mention Sony's Morpheus, the VR headset. So you're going to get a little bit of everything there. And definitely, if you haven't tried the virtual reality stuff yet, folks, you're going to find yourself in San Diego. That's definitely something to give a look. But, yes, you're going to get everything from video games to comic books to movies to TV shows to action figures. It's more than any human can possibly handle in only 4.5 days.
Right, and you're actually going there to actually work. I know you have, like, the hardest job in the world because, I mean, dude, you're, like, totally into it, man. So, all right, I know you, like I said, I know you're going there to work, but what are you looking forward to see?
Oh, man, you know, it's hard to say because there's, like, there's a lot of great things that are going on, but I'm gonna plug it now. I'm actually gonna get to go hands on with the new Transformers game that's coming out. Yeah, Transformers Devastation, and I may be meeting a certain person that let's just say fans of the cartoons will appreciate this. I'm actually gonna get a chance to meet and speak with the original voice of Grimlock.
Wow. That is awesome. So, all right, so you got that going on. Now, as far as like they always seem to show like movie trailers there. Have they given you like any type of preview of what's going to be viewed there as far as movie trailers?
They haven't said anything yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if you had something from like X-Men, you know, Apocalypse. You had some other things come out. Anything that's comic book related is probably going to have a huge presence there. I mean, the X-Men movies always usually like to have a huge presence. I remember a couple of years ago, before Days of Future Past, they had like an actual working Sentinel head on display, which was insane to see. So I'm sure I would be very surprised and very disappointed if X-Men Apocalypse didn't do something, Age of Apocalypse didn't do something there. In terms of movies, you've got to also imagine Batman versus Superman. You know, they had something, they obviously had something come out the past couple of years for that with the delays. I'm sure they're going to be trying to get that hyped up again before next summer's release. This is a great time to start that. So anything that's comic book related, anything that's, you know, I'm sure you're going to get Civil War stuff going on from Marvel. So, I mean, it's going to be, in terms of movies, I expect a huge presence there. What exactly we'll see, I don't know for sure, but I'd be surprised if those particular movies didn't have presences.
All right, good to go. And now you mentioned Nintendo earlier. Nintendo is currently working on a new console. What do you know so far about it?
So we have a lot of speculation, but we don't have a lot of facts. All we know is right now it's been codenamed the NX. We do know that Nintendo is going to show it off for the first time in E3 next year, so we won't see it for the first time until next June. But other than that, there's been nothing but rumors and speculation around it. We believe, those of us in the press believe that it's going to be released sometime in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been rumors that it's going to actually come out late 2016, which would be surprising because that would really undercut the Wii U and really kind of say that they gave up on it much earlier than other consoles, because that wouldn't be a full 5-year cycle, which is typically what Nintendo likes to do with their consoles. They like to give their hardware at least a full 5 years, if not more. But coming out with something in 2016 would mean that the Wii U only was 4 years. So a lot of us, especially because Nintendo, they're not the ones to panic. They typically, no matter how bad a console is doing, and they've admitted, Iwata, Miyamoto, they've all gone on record and admitted that the Wii U has underperformed, that they messed up promoting it, they messed up marketing it, they haven't supported it with the proper software in a lot of cases. They messed up with the Wii U, but it would be very un-Nintendo-like for them to pull the plug on it after only 4 years. So me personally, most others of us, believe it will be a 2017 release for the NX, especially because Nintendo, after the flop of the Wii U, has so much riding on this new hardware. There's also the rumor that the NX will actually be two consoles in one. Oh. You'll actually have a portable device similar to a Nintendo 3DS that you can then plug into the NX, and that will amp up its power and expand the library of games it can play. Now, of course, this is all speculation. It's all hearsay. It's all rumor. Nobody's actually seen the console. But if Nintendo were to do something like this, considering the stranglehold they've had on the portable market for the past 25 years, that could be a game changer, and that could be something that gets them right back into the thick of the console wars.
Yeah, I know it would, because I know for me, I'm not really into the mobile gaming outside of playing like little apps on my phone when I'm bored. But if they had something that I can actually use with the actual home console, I would definitely be game for something like that, because I love playing video games, and one of those things that turned me off about, the Wii's and the Wii U and all that other stuff is I like to have, I want to be able to play it at home and play it the same way I play at home, you know, in my hands as I'm mobile. So that's one of the things that I hope that they do. And you said the projected release is what year?
Well, there's rumors circulating that they're going to try and get 2016, but that wouldn't, it doesn't make any sense. And also the rumors are coming from unreliable sources. So personally, all signs are point. From what I understand, all signs are pointing to a 2017 release.
All right, great. Now let's move on to Call of Duty Black Ops 3, one of my favorite versions of Call of Duty is the Black Ops. What do we know so far about Black Ops 3? Has anything changed? Did they push any release dates back?
So right now, the release date is holding steady at November the 6th. It's a Friday release, worldwide release, Xbox One, PS4, PC, Xbox 360, PS3. What we do know is that the game takes place in the same universe as Black Ops 2, but it takes place 40 years later. So Black Ops 2 is 2025, Black Ops 3 is 2065. And because there is such a huge change in the world over those 40 years, the game actually takes an interesting approach to filling in the gaps of the story. They're actually including an in-game wiki or something along those lines that will allow players to search major events over the 40 years of fabricated history in the Black Ops series, for what happened from when you took down Raul Menendez and his drones at the end of Black Ops 2, all the way up to what starts and the events that lead to the beginning of Black Ops 3 in 2065. So it's a massive story. It's a massive campaign. It's easily the biggest narrative they've ever written. And it looks absolutely phenomenal. I actually got to play it at E3, and if you love Call of Duty and you love Black Ops, this thing's going to blow your mind.
All right, let me ask you this, because from a few videos I've seen about Black Ops 3, they had this one scene where, you know, the guy kind of jumped and floated, and it kind of reminded me of Destiny. Is it like that? Do they have like the floating, you know, like warlock type deal going on, or any kind of like super jumps and stuff like that, like the current Call of Duty Advanced Warfare?
It is similar to Advanced Warfare and even Destiny, but it's different enough to where it doesn't feel like it's truly ripping off. Definitely from Advanced Warfare, it feels a lot smoother. It feels a lot easier to control. I would also say you have to be, what they don't explain in a lot of these videos is there's also multiple loadouts that you can do, a variety of different powers that can affect how you move on the battlefield and how you attack your enemies. So not everybody will necessarily have the slow descent that you see in a lot of these videos. A lot of these videos they give you predetermined loadouts. You're not allowed to, a lot of the demos, including the one that I played, we weren't allowed to choose our loadout. But they're trying to show off the range of abilities that you have, from the slow descent to jump to being able to survey a battlefield with like infrared vision and all these other ways to plot out the battlefield, or to use what honestly looks almost like the Force, where you can kind of like send out this shockwave to cripple robotic enemy forces. It scrambles their circuitry, or even hack drones. You know, we got to see a lot of really cool powers, but I can see why people would think that it looks similar to this Destiny, but trust me, it plays different enough that it feels like an original new Call of Duty experience.
All right, great, great. And one last thing, too, about it is the zombie mode. My son loves the zombie modes. Me, personally, I could care. I like to play it, but very little do I play it. But my son, he's totally in love with the zombie mode with Call of Duty. Now, did they bring that back? And why is that mode so popular?
So they did bring zombies mode back. And I think the big reason why, it's become Treyarch's signature at this point whenever they do a Call of Duty game. And I think the reason why it became so popular, there's two reasons. First, it was so different from what Call of Duty was doing at the time when it was first introduced that it really felt like a breath of fresh air to a series that even back then had started, I believe it debuted back in World at War, it started to kind of start to feel a little stale.
Mm-hmm.
I think also because it didn't give you a lot of story and because it didn't give you a lot of background to it, it felt kind of like this cobbled together kind of Easter egg almost, that players kind of owned it themselves and kind of started to build out the lore in their own ways. So they would go on to forums and start being like, oh, well, you know, when you find this item, it clearly means this must have happened and this character is trying to do this. And they built out the lore and the fiction almost, you know, in themselves very organically to the point where they're almost kind of fanning the flames of its popularity themselves. And all Treyarch had to do was kind of sit back, look at what the fans wanted, and just kind of give them, continue to follow these little breadcrumbs that really the players themselves were laying out, not the developers. So I think those two things where the fans really kind of, you know, started this cycle of give and take back and forth between Treyarch, and also it was something so new at the time, I think is really what made zombies popular. And if you love zombies, definitely stay tuned to our Comic-Con coverage, because there is going to be a lot of zombies information coming out Friday at Comic-Con. It's the first time, really, Call of Duty's done something this big at Comic-Con, so it'll be interesting to see just what exactly what bombshells they are dropping there.
All right, and there you have it. Ray Carcillo, review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMnow.com, RayCarcillo.com. Make sure you guys follow him on Twitter. It's at Ray Carcillo if you want to check him out there on Twitter. Man, we got to get some more news from you when you actually get there at San Diego Comic-Con so I can pick your brain a little bit more. Also, man, it's so much cool stuff there at RayCarcillo.com, too. Make sure you guys check out RayCarcillo.com as well. Ray, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me as always, Sean.
And we'll be back right after this.